faith of Moses' parents. Lesson 8, the faith of Moses' parents. The faith life, as Brother Sexton has been calling this series, the faith life is a life of looking unto Jesus, which is Hebrews 12:2. Look right across the page there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith is what? It's looking unto Jesus. It's looking unto Jesus for the things that we cannot take care of ourselves. It's looking unto Jesus. In discovering the open secret to God's great blessing in the lives of people, we will discover that God blessed them not because of ability, nor education, nor training. We'll find the secret to be that these people were people who placed their faith in God. Moses' parents were people of great faith. Moses' parents were people of great faith. As we're going through Hebrews chapter 11, what we refer to as the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith, these are people just like you and I. And yet they did great things for God through faith. Through faith. They did great things for God. A chapter I'm sure many of us are familiar with. I've learned verses out of it. A chapter that is not just written as a historical document. What is it written for? It's written for our admonition. These are written for examples, for examples that you and I have. This is not just a history book, although it is. This is a message to each one of us from God. Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10:11. This is written for us, for our lives. The aims of our lesson today, to understand that the greatest assignment God has given parents is to teach your children of the true and living God. Secondly, to see that God makes a connection between what is placed in the heart of a child and the type of adult that the child becomes. Thirdly, to show that true courage grows out of faith in God, and that parents especially need to have courage by trusting God with their children. Fourthly, to understand that if parents expect their children to be people of faith, they must demonstrate the reality of God in their own lives before the children. Our children hear more of what they see of us than what they hear of us, don't they? Everybody does. The people at work do. They hear more by what they see of us than what they hear from us. Do you know, O Christian, you're a sermon in shoes. Dan, Brother Averett, we're out in the factories, we're out in the shops. Do you know, O Christian, you're a sermon in shoes. The way you walk, the way you respond, we're sermons in shoes. I need some tissue. Is it warm in here or is it me? I'm soaked already. It's me. You stand up here and you'd be the same way, brother. I assure you. There's something about standing here. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity. I'm not complaining. I praise the Lord for the opportunity to be up here. I tell you, since I've been up here, I've learned more of God's word. It is amazing. Then lastly, to be obedient to our God-given task of placing into the hearts of our children that which can never be taken away. Now, the lesson today, we're talking about parents. Now, a lot of us here, our parents or our children have already grown. They're older now. So what is the lesson to each of us? The lesson to each of us is that there's someone around us that we need to show Jesus Christ to. That's a lesson to all of us. Again, the lesson is Moses' parents. But as our children watch us, so our co-workers watch us, and they see Jesus Christ in and through us. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? You're the only sermon those guys in the factory might hear that week. We've got to preach it to them in our lives. When the boss says, you're going to do this, yeah, but nobody else did it. Yeah, but you're going to. Okay, I get paid, I'll do that. How many of you work with other people where the boss will trip over five guys to get to you? Why? Because you'll go do it. And it makes the boss's life easier. And we do get paid to do our jobs, whether there's five people doing nothing. I don't know. I don't know if it's only that way where I work, but I'm sure by the smiles on your faces, you've seen it. The boss will go for the guy that'll do the job. And as Christians, we are living examples. Do you know a Christian? We're a sermon in shoes. Our work ethic shows who we are and what we are. Okay, the faith of Moses' parents. In your lessons there, turn with me to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Frank, why aren't the fans going? Would you explain that to me? Why are not the fans moving? Okay. Okay. I thought there was a reason. I just wanted it explained to me.
We never use them.
Okay, I see. Okay. Thank you for that.
There's no electricity.
Oh, there's not? Okay. I didn't hear the last part. That's science.
There's a little holders in there, one electricity five holders, a magnetic force that goes around the magnetic door and makes two little round
clocks. No, I'm not gonna tell him to be quiet. He's waxing eloquently up there. I'd hate to interrupt him. Thank you, Brother Frank. Exodus chapter 2, let's read verses 1 through 10. Let's pray before we get started. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we've seen your word over and over be so faithful and so true. Lord, we're thankful that this is your word from you written to me and written to each one of us. These are written for our examples. They're examples that we can live by. Lord, these testimonies of those that walk by faith. Lord, it's not just a hall of faith, a hall of fame. It is examples for us, Lord, that we might live different lives for you. Lord, right now I pray for each person here. Lord, I pray for your word. I pray for your spirit and for power on each person. Throughout the building here this morning, each teacher, each student. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth with power. Lord, I pray that as your word is light, that it would lighten our hearts. And then, Lord, that we would take that light out into a darkened world and preach Jesus Christ to them. Preach it through our actions and preach it through our words. Lord, we're thankful for these testimonies here. Lord, now as we look at Moses, the parents of Moses, Lord, we pray that you would give us a message that you would have for us. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dubbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done unto him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flag, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister unto Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. She said, "Because I drew him out of the water." What was Moses doing in the water? The decree had gone out. A king had rose up that knew not Joseph, that knew not God's people. And a new king had come up, and he got looking at all these slaves, and he got thinking, there's a lot of these guys. In fact, there's more of them than there are of us. These guys could be a problem if there were a war. They're getting to be too many. So the decree goes out. When the male children are born, toss them in the river. They're to be killed. The female child children are to live. And the midwives were given that task, and they obeyed God rather than obeying man. And they spared the lives of the children. And the king called them in and said, "What are you doing? I told you to kill the male children." And they said, "You don't understand. By the time we get to the women, they've already delivered. They're already back to work. They're already back at it. These are strong women. They're not like our women. They don't lay around for weeks on end as it's." And I'm not making light of having a baby, please. I've never had one. I don't want to. I can't. I'm not making like it's easy. But there was something different about the children of Israel. The women were hard workers. And they said, before we ever get to them, the children are born. And you know. And so God dealt well with the midwives. And God blessed them. But the king was afraid that there was going to be too many of them. So he's going to kill all the male children. So he puts out the decree. And again, the midwives obey the Lord rather than man. Many of the children are spared. Here's Moses. Spared by his mom and dad, both of tribe of Levi. They come. The child's born. A truth is given to them that God has a plan for this child. They make the ark of bulrush. They put it in there. And then they stand back and watch what a mighty God can do. Just step back and watch what a mighty God can do. Pharaoh's daughter came out, saw that. "What is that? Go get that for me." Brings it in here. It's a little baby. It's a little baby that God had sent to do a great job. His parents were dedicated people, people that love the Lord, people that had dedicated their lives to the Lord. And now God had told them that this young man was going to be the deliverer. What a privilege. What a home. What a home. Take that little boy and have the faith and teach it to him early on. In those early years, as Pharaoh's daughter had said, to nurse him and train him up and to teach him God's truths, as many of you did with your children, and many of you still have children, teaching them the truths of God's word. The parents of Moses had great faith in God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. In Proverbs 22:6, the scripture tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train him up early. Train him up young. Last week we talked about Joseph. They had him, and his brothers sold him off at an early age. But the faith had already been built into him. Mom and dad had already built the faith into him. Mom and dad had already taught him. And it took him, 110 years old when he died, something like that. Took him all that time because they built that faith into him. Moms and dads, you have a very important obligation. You have a very important responsibility, and that is building the truth of God into your children. Guys like me work in the plants. You guys work in the factories, wherever you work. We have to tell them God's word. We have to tell them, because they won't hear otherwise. Talking with a guy this week, and he was talking about the union and all things, and why didn't I come to the union meeting? I said, the union meetings are on Sunday morning when you're supposed to be in church. That's why I don't go to the union meetings. Why would you have a union meeting when your people are in church? Well, obviously they don't go to church, the people that schedule the meetings, apparently. And so the guy gave me a hard time about being a good union member and whatnot, and I said, listen, I'm going to be in church on Sunday. Well, you know, you go to church some other time. No, I'll go to church Sunday morning. Because I'm a Christian. He said, well, a lot of other Christians. I said, let me tell you, there's a lot of people out there naming the name of Christ and claiming to be in heaven. And I looked at him and I said, and they're going to be in hell because they're not naming Jesus Christ's name. It's another religion. It's another gospel, as Paul talks about. It's not the true faith. And I told him, I said, they'll be in hell. They'll be in hell because they're being taught the wrong thing, because it is not God's word. And at Ford Motor Company, you got to be careful. I mean, it's okay if you're a liberal, but man, don't be a conservative. Don't be a conservative Christian at Ford, and because if you were to say the wrong thing, you might offend someone. But I just said to him, no, all religions aren't the same. There's a God out there, and that God expects certain things. We need to take opportunities to tell people about Christ. God can, following along in your lesson, God connects childhood with adulthood. The Lord connects what is placed in the heart of a child with the type of adult that child will become, in Proverbs 22:6. If we're going to have children who become people of faith, they need to have the Word of God placed in their hearts. No greater position in the United States of America than mom. No greater position. My wife has basically never worked outside the home. A little bit before we got married, she raised four kids. And all those kids have God's faith in them. What a victory. Four kids that are now raising their children in faith. Now, am I saying she's something? No. No, yes, she is something. I'm sorry. Yes, she is. She sure is something. Yes, she is. She sure is. But she's taking God's word and she taught it to the children. And you know what those children are doing now? They're teaching it to their children. That's what we've got to do. That's the most important job we've got going on. That's the most important job. Teaching that next generation. We've got to teach our children. We've got to take God's word. We've got to put it in their hearts when they're young. We've got to teach it to them early. Most important job. Guys in the factories, out in the workplace, we have got to tell them. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to go to some church that's going to preach a gospel to them. They're going to go to some church that has a convenient service for them, and they do whatever it is they do there, but they're never going to be presented with the gospel. We've got to take it to them. If we're going to have children who become people of faith, they need to have the Word of God placed in their heart. Romans 10:17, the Scripture says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Bible memory, teaching God's Word to your children, memorizing it. Teaching our children great stories out of the Bible. As we read the account in Exodus 2, recorded about Moses, as a very young child, Moses was taught of the only true God. The faith we see in Moses when he was called of God, the faith we see in Moses when he was called of God and he faced the Pharaoh is the same kind of faith we see in the life of his mother and his father when he was a young boy. They were believing parents. Moses' parents lived in a land of of unbelievers, but they were believing parents. There were those among the Israelites who were caught up in the worship of the Egyptian gods. In Joshua 24:14, it talks about that, but Moses' parents served the living and true God. As is the case then, as it is the case now, many Christians are going to be caught up in much of the world. These people were. They were caught up in the world. They were caught up in the other things, in the gods of the world. But we can't be. We have got to teach our children the true and living God. We're surrounded by people who may be identified with Christianity, but are not true believers and true followers of Jesus Christ. As I was speaking to this guy this week at work, I said, not everybody that goes to church and attends a church somewhere are Christians. I'm sorry, they're not. They're not, because they haven't placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They're not trusting a true and living God. They've identified themselves as Christians. They all want to be named with us. We must be a believing people who understand that God has given us a work to do in the hearts and the lives of our children and those around us. And those around us. Many of us don't have children, but there are people around us that need faith. They need faith. They're not going to pick up their Bibles and read about it. They're going to have to see it in our lives. Hebrews 11:23 says that Moses' parents saw that he was a proper child. The Bible tells us in Exodus that he was a goodly child. In Exodus 2:2, and the woman conceived and bare a son. I better look at it. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. She knew God had a plan for this child. She knew God had a plan for this child. So she hid him. The Bible tells us in Exodus that he was a goodly child. How did they have faith to hide little Moses? They understood something about this child. They knew that God had given his word and that a time limit to their bondage in Egypt, and they were looking for deliverance. I believe this little mother recognized by faith that God had something special for her son. Appreciate Brother Sexton and his lessons that he gives. They're always very good. A man of a lot of insight. He says here that she realized God had a plan. Moms, God has a plan for your children. You've got to take this and you got to hide it in their hearts. Grandpas, grandmas, we've got to hide this in their hearts. We love bouncing them on our knees and playing all the games with them, but we've got to hide God's word in their heart, because that's what's going to take them through. They were courageous parents. The Bible says they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid to hide that child. Even though the king had said the child was to be put to death, they were not afraid to keep that child alive and to hide him. They did not hide the child because they were afraid. They hid him because they knew he had a special assignment from God. They knew God was going to take care of him. They believed that their God was greater than Pharaoh. We are not to fear men. We are not to fear men. Type in fear men, type in fear, and you see it many times in Scripture. We're not to fear men. We're supposed to fear who? Fear him that can destroy both body and hell and fire. That's who we're to fear. We're to fear God. God has given us his word to teach to our children. We're to fear God. We better fear God rather than fear men, because God will destroy both body and soul of those that do not believe. He will. Why? Because he's a holy God. Is he a loving God? Yes, he is. Did he make preparation to where people did not have to go to hell? Yes, he did. But if they don't take it, they will be in hell. May God make us courageous parents. Parents, rise to your challenge. If you expect your children to be people of faith, then demonstrate the reality of the only true and living God in your life. Our children hear what we do more than what we say, don't they? They certainly do. They hear what we do more than what we say. They were obedient parents. The day came, Exodus 2:3, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. The day came when they had to take little Moses out of the house. With tender loving care, Moses' mother made a basket and made it sure that it would float in the river. She and Miriam, which would be Moses' sister, made their plan. Jochebed obeyed God in this matter. She could not see from the beginning to the end. This is faith. She put him in there. She didn't know what all was going to happen. She knew God had a plan for this little guy because God had revealed it to her. She fixed that up and put it in there and then stood back. And you know, as parents, we do all we can. And then we stand back and watch. That's all we can do. But what we do have to do is we have to do all we can. We have to teach God's word to them. Joseph had God's word taught to him. And it took him through all those years of captivity. Moses here had God's, the truths of God's taught to him. All the details were not visible to her. But by faith, she saw God, and she knew that whatever God led her into, he would steer through. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Of course, God touched the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. Jacob had the opportunity to keep her child for a time, teaching and instructing and telling him about the true and living God. Moses' parents put into his heart what could never be taken away. Moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, teach them this. Teach them to whittle. Teach them all those things, all those abilities you have. But in all your teaching, teach them this. Teach them God's word. Teach it to them when they're young. We don't fear man, but we do know by man comes oppression. I look at the Muslim world, and I'm concerned that they are going to afflict us. Now, are we afraid of man? No, as the scripture told us, not to fear man. Fear not, fear not, fear not. We are to fear God. Pastor Seth said this morning, the policemen actually believe we can't pass out a gospel tract. You actually believe that? You believe we can't pass out a gospel tract? Wow. Wow. If they're thinking that now, what's coming down the road? We've had easy Christianity, haven't we? We've been able to pass out God's word and God's gospel tracts, and it's not been hard. Now our kids are going to these fairs and having an officer in a uniform apparently tell them, you may not do that. Wow. Others lived under persecution, and what happened? They grew, didn't they? Am I looking forward to persecution coming? No, I'm not. May it come? Yeah, it sure may come. Are we going to stand for God's word? Yeah, we are. We are. How's it going to happen? I don't know how it's going to happen. God's going to give me that strength when it's time. Persecution appears to be on its way. As you look at Christianity throughout the scripture, under persecution, it always the Spirit of God always spread. The Word of God always spread under persecution. They were obedient parents. They taught him. They taught him from when he was young about God. They didn't have the canon of scripture like we have. We've got it made. We have the canon of scripture. We have all of it. They didn't have that. They just had a little bit. But yet that was enough faith for them to take them through. Enough faith. Let's look at your questions now. Why did Moses' parents hide him? I'm sorry, say it real loud. Okay, right, good. Because they saw that he was a proper child. Excellent. They saw that God had a plan for him. What must we place in the lives of our children if we want them to be people of faith? Proverbs 22. Okay, train them in, we must train them in the Word of God. Train them in faith. Very good. Exodus 2, 1 through 10. How did Moses' mother demonstrate her faith by placing him in the river? How did she demonstrate her faith? As she placed him in the river. Anybody? She did it. She did it. She did it. She put him out there. God, I know you got a purpose for this kid. I've done all I can. Here he is. She did it. Okay. Living among the Hebrews, were Moses' parents surrounded by believers? No. They were in the world. They were in the world, weren't they? Hebrews 11:23 says Moses' parents were not afraid of what? Not afraid of the king's commandment. What does this show us about their faith in God? I'm sorry? That they believed him? Okay, then Saturday, how can parents show their children? Did I do Friday? Saturday. How can parents show their children that they truly believe God is greater than anyone or anything else? What's that? In their actions. In their actions, very good. God is our refuge. We will not fear. We will not fear. No matter what religions may be out there, what plans they have for Christians, we don't need to fear. We need to fear him who can destroy both body and hell, both body and soul in hellfire. That's what we need to fear. We need to fear God. We don't need to fear man. Thank you for coming. Work next week's lesson. We will meet next week. So work next week's questions, memory verse, and then work the memory verses. Again, the schedule is up on the board out here that you signed up for Hebrews chapter 11, and we will do that the week after I get back. Thank you.